Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Pastor Reggie Green III.
I believe that God will reveal some new things to you about His grace. And one of the things I love about the grace of God is that it is, the word I use is multidimensional. It means that His grace is sufficient for everything. It is good for everything. And I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 to 10. But this, and I want us just to get this in us, get this in your system. And some of you know this scripture, some of you don't. But let's get it in you today, something that we can think about as we are closing out our year. We're closing out, we're getting, holidays are coming quick. They definitely make the months go by faster. And one of the things as a church I want us to focus on is just our worship of our Lord and Savior and what He's done for us. Because when you understand that, what He's done for you, it really changes how you worship. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I remember there was a time, like a lot of times, sometimes in churches, and we've even said it in the past before, a lot of times, man, how do you get people to lift their hands? We want to get them to worship God, and there's some that don't. It, to me, it's not whether you try to get people and try to coax them into doing it. People, you will worship God out of your own heart when you realize and have a revelation of what Jesus has done for you. I mean, you will pray. Once that hits you, and sometimes we use the example of, man, well, you in a concert, and yet you can worship God, you can worship in a concert, in a game, and yet in the house of God, you can't, because they're two totally different things. All right? We're not praising our team because they saved us and gave us salvation. It's Jesus that does that. And a lot of times what is when you come to that understanding, and I want to encourage you that sometimes it's a daily understanding. It's daily, it's monthly, at different times that you take some time to remind yourself of the goodness of the Lord and what He's done for you and every door that He's opened and all the blessings and all the mercy, because that's when your praise really comes out, when you know what you're forgiven for. And so I want you to, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, I want us just to read this, get you in it, because Paul lays it down. He lays it out pretty nicely about the grace, about the favor that we do have from Jesus. And in verse 1, it says this: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." So some of us are there, some of us have been there. We know what he's talking about. Man, I was dead in my sins, I was dead in my transgressions. In verse 3, it says, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and allowing its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." But listen to verse 4. It says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." He says, we were in that place. We were gratifying the flesh. We were disobedient. We lived for the world. We lived in sin. But because of God's love, starting with him, because of what he had intended, because of his mercies and grace, because of his great love for us, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. That's a wonderful thought, is that there's a God in heaven that died for us while we were still sinners. That's a beautiful thing. And so even then, sometimes we're never, ever too mature in the Lord to remind ourselves of that. That, man, Lord, sometimes we can get caught up in thinking, man, God, you still love me, you still have a plan. Well, just remind yourself that he died for you and me while we were still sinners. So the fact that you acknowledge him now and you're fighting to live for him, there's a big difference. And so don't be discouraged, because now you're like, man, God, there's still things I'm wrestling with. Well, you better rejoice and be happy, because now you're fighting, you're living for God. And if God did it when we were sinners, like, how much more as you're trying to live for him? And that's a part about grace, about his favor and at his mercy, is that one of the definitions of grace is his kindness. Have you had someone be kind to you? I mean, ever someone be kind to you when you don't deserve it? I mean, that is and that's something our world needs today. And we can be examples of that, is to show people kindness despite how they may treat us. That's a reflection of living like Jesus. There's power. And so that's one of the things about grace, is that he is kind. And so like the rest of us, so we come to verse 4, "But because of his great love for us, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, It is by grace that you and I are here today. And verse 6 is, and God raised us up with Christ, and I love that, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness, there it is, to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance for us to do. How many believe that today? There's some things in advance that God has prepared for us. There's things that he wants you and I to do. I want you to understand as well, as we do talk about grace, it's not a greasy grace. And so there's a grace, the grace that God gives us, he gives us room. It's not room so that we can sin, right, and pursue the life that we want to and not get things right. No, it's grace to get things right. There's room to get things right. And do you understand that there's room? There's room for us. There's a space for us to get things together, that we don't always, just because, hey, we have an issue and we're working things out, it's not like God is overbearing us and ready to strike us dead. No, that grace, it gives us room. And so you and I need to learn how to utilize grace. It's like, you know, you get that, how about like if you had a credit card and it's your first, right? You get no interest for your first year. Let me have some of those. No interest, right? And then the interest kicks in and it's like 16.99%. Right, there's that period, and in that period, you and I, right, we should have a handling over our finances that we would hope to pay it off within that year. It's a grace period. It's not meant to keep swiping and swiping and swiping, even though we might tend to have that habit. No, it's a period to say, hey, you know what? I can purchase this thing at no interest and take care of it before that year is up. That's kind of how grace is. Is that God gives us room. It's not room to just live and do whatever we want to do. No, it's a grace to get things right. It creates space that we don't have to always be on edge when we're dealing with issues and we do the wrong thing or make the wrong decision. No, that grace is, God, you're loving, kind, and God, you're giving me this room so I can get it right. How many know there's a season in your life? There's seasons in your life to get things right. And there's a beginning date and there's an end date. And so pay attention that in your life right now. Is God giving you grace and favor in the particular season that you're in to get something done? Because there's a time for you. He may be like, hey, I'm giving you this grace. I'm giving you this favor. I'm showing you kindness so you can get it right. So you can get your relationships and your act together and your mind together. I'm giving you this space. Because there's a time. And so are you paying attention to that in your life? Or are you continuing to say, you know what, I'm going to kind of just do my thing. And you know what, it's not so bad right now. And I'm talking to believers in the house too. Because it's important, especially for us, that we recognize that time. We recognize that period and say, God, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? You're giving me time right now. Man, it's a blessing. I'm enjoying my job. I'm enjoying my time. Are you using that just to, you know, gratify yourself? Or are you doing what God has called you to do in that time? Are you blessing other people? Are you growing in his word? Are you using that time wisely? Because there is that window, there is that grace, there is that favor. And it does come to an end at some point, definitely when Christ comes back. And so for those of us, I encourage you to grow in it. Pay attention to that grace. What is that favor, God? What are you allowing me to do right now? I want to reemphasize today as well, as we were talking about grace, is what we talked about on Wednesday night in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And there's this idea that there's this grace, like I said, there's different sides to it. It's multidimensional, right? And so there's this grace that we read in Ephesians that gives us room. It's this favor. It's this undeserved. It's what makes us right. It's this grace that makes us right with God. It's his mercies. It's his kindness shown to us, right, that makes us right with God. And we read about that in Ephesians, but I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you again that his grace is also given to you and I, his kindness and his favor, in order for us to get through certain times in our life. There's grace given to you to handle being a single mother. There's grace to you given to you to handle maybe a death in your life, in your family. God gives you a grace to handle a situation, a circumstance that maybe you didn't put yourself into and you just wound up in it because of other people's decisions. But there's also a grace for you, even though you may have made certain decisions, they weren't wise, they weren't good, that God gives you a grace to handle those consequences. And he gives us that room. He gives us that space. There is grace for you and I according to our personalities. And one of my favorite scriptures right now I'm personally living by is when God tells Gideon, he says, go in the strength that you have. There's grace that God says, go with what you got, with what you know, with that head knowledge, your experiences, how you act, how you think, how you talk. Go in that strength and let God's grace work for you. There's grace for our church. Right where we're at, there's grace for us and how we do things and how we minister and how you go forward. There is a grace on this church. There's a grace on this church to work with certain people, to work. We got room. How many know you're grateful that you got room in this church to work things out? That's not everywhere. That's not in every church. I've been to a lot of churches, been to a lot of conferences, and that is not found everywhere. There's room here, and we always, the message here is to keep it real, is to work out your trash, work it out between you and your Father in heaven, and we're here to guide and here to help, but you got to get it right? There's space here. There's room. That's our grace. That's the grace that God has on this church. And some of you have had to work through some tough things. Some of you are working through some tough things, but how many can say that God's grace is helping you get through? Man, you can look at it and say, man, God is helping me and he is strengthening me. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, Paul writes these words after giving a revelation by the Lord in heaven. He gives him this deep revelation. And Paul writes these words because he has been given this revelation. He says it's unspeakable things. I wonder what he must have saw. It must have been trippy. He said, whatever it was, he says, it wasn't, I could not share it. I could not explain it. And I was like, man, I can't wait to see that side of the Lord. You know what I mean? To have some type of revelation, like, whoa, I can't even share this. And, you know, that's where he was at. God had given this revelation, gave him this opportunity to see some things that he could not write, he could not express. But looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 9, he says, therefore, right, after all these revelations, after these things that God had expressed to him and showed him, he says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I want us to be a people, a church, that we know how to function powerfully in our weaknesses, because we all have some type of weakness. Don't you dare come up in this place and act like you got no weaknesses. I may not be able to see it, but you know you have them. You know you got them. And so everybody here deals with some form, some type of weakness. And I like to say this, you and I have to learn how to live for the Lord, but I like to say, despite our weaknesses. Because a lot of times in the kingdom of God, people experience weaknesses. They don't know how to, they don't learn or they to live for God in their weaknesses and end up leaving him. And that's usually the strategy. Some of us have been there. You know what? I'm still dealing with this. I'm still dealing with this issue. So this church ain't working for me, so I'm gone. We know some people who have done that. But you and I have to learn because how to function and how to live for God and move forward and grow in our weaknesses. They are there. Some of us have asked for a long time. Some of us aren't even thinking, and boom, a weakness shows up. Some of us don't even know we have a particular weakness until a certain situation happens. And you realize, oh, shoot, I didn't know what to do there. I didn't act. Dang, my anger came out, and this came out. I never saw this side of me. And because we all have it. But the most powerful thing about God's grace is that he helps us get through these weaknesses and to function and to move forward and to live for him, not only to live for him, but also to be able to grow. To grow. Can anybody see that today? That you can grow from your weaknesses. That you can grow. And some of us here today, I want to just kind of give examples of God kind of using and how he can function in our weaknesses is that there are Some of us here today that because of our upbringing or because of our past experiences, we are dealing with particular things today that may not necessarily be good. We experienced things in our youth. We've done some things as sinners before knowing God. We've done some things that we may not be proud of. And some of us here today, we know that God has forgiven us and we have repented, but yet we deal and we carry the weight of that decision. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense today? We carry the weight of the decisions that we've made. We carry the weight of what had happened to us or of those people who have left us, like our mom and dad or someone who we loved and we cherished. And sometimes we can be living for God and the thoughts that creep into our mind that cross our thinking is, man, if I could have just done that over again, how much better my life would be. If only so-and-so would have stayed and worked it out, if my mom or dad would have been like this and that, I would be different today. And those things may be a reality. It may be real. If I was just raised in a different home and I didn't make that decision, what kind of man or what kind of woman could I be today? What kind of situation, what kind of peace could I have today? But how many know this, that you cannot undo the past? We all have lived long enough to understand and to know that we cannot go back. There is no time machine to go back and fix those things. There's no way we could have, we're not there anymore. We can't change that and we can't undo it. We can't. So number one, you and I have to come to an understanding that you cannot change your past. Come to grips with that. And sometimes it's one of the toughest things to do, but you can do it before the Lord. Say, I cannot undo this. I cannot change these things. I am who I am because of a product of maybe some decision making and some things that have come down and have happened to me. But God's grace is sufficient to help you get you through. That despite the weaknesses that you may feel because of these things, God's grace will get you through. Despite the weaknesses that you may have and have to deal with because of your decisions, God's grace is sufficient and it will help you and it will enable you to get you through. And maybe today you say, well, you know what? I've lived for God and I'm a believer and I know the Lord and I've lived for God for some time. Now, how do I work through my mess now? How do I work through some of the things, the decisions that I made? Maybe as a believer, I wasn't a sinner. I wasn't living in my sin, but there's some decisions I made as a believer that have hurt me today. Well, what's interesting, I like to point out, is that the Apostle Paul, when he was given this thorn, he was at the top of his game. He was preaching the word. Matter of fact, he was given a revelation. Something unspeakable. He was given these things, and yet he had to deal with this. And in response to what it was, because he was given this revelation, because he was given this responsibility, the thorn came. And so some of us, we got to get over that as well. It's like, man, I was living for God. Why did I go down this way? God's grace is sufficient for that, as it was for Paul. He was living for the Lord. And see, this is what I'm talking about. God's grace, about God's working all things together for the good of those who love him. Here it is. That even things that we have to deal with today because of our sin and things uncontrolled, or things we have to deal with simply because we chose to follow the Lord and go forward and live for him, God's grace covers it all. His favor and his mercy and kindness will enable you to get through it. And I think that's one of the biggest things in our lives is how do we get through, how do we function and through our weaknesses. And God told Paul, he says, you know what? Paul said, I played it three times. And so there's different scholars, and there's different beliefs about what he may have been dealing with. Some believe it might have been a particular temptation. Others believe it might have been a physical disability. But I'm grateful that it doesn't ever explain it, because I believe that we can fit things into this place. We can fit into it. And so he dealt with all the, we don't know what it was exactly, but it was enough to cause him to pray to God three times. Plead, beg. It was enough pain. It was a thorn. It's also an expression of, imagine a stake going inside of you. You ever been like pierced by a nail? You ever stepped on a nail? That mess hurts. So it's like this idea that he's this constant thorn, this thing by the enemy, this messenger of Satan to torment him. And he's experiencing. So whatever it was, it brought a lot of pain to his life. brought a lot of pain to his life. But it's interesting that the Lord's response to him is not, I'll take it from you, or I'll remove it from you. He says opposite. It's almost as if he says, no, you got to kind of carry this, but my grace is sufficient for you. And some of us have to carry things, again, that you cannot undo unchanged, but I'm here to say that God is speaking to you. He says, my grace is sufficient, meaning that it is enough. It is enough for you to grow. His grace is enough for you to continue to press through what you need to press through. His grace is sufficient. And so that's what you have to speak over your life. Because ain't nothing worse than that nagging thought, than those thoughts and those memories coming up to your mind, right? And you could be having a good day and be reminded of, oh. But when you have those moments, you need to speak and say, God's grace is sufficient for me. Every time the lies that creep into your mind and saying, I can't because I don't have this, I didn't have this, I wasn't like this, I made this decision, God's grace is sufficient for me. It's enough. His grace, right, it will do the job. It's all that you need. It will work, so be patient. It supplies you. It sustains you during the ups and the downs. It keeps you grounded and level-headed. It helps you heal and recover. All this is found in the grace of God. It helps you overcome the consequences of sin. It is all sufficient. It is everything that you need. And it is, and then God's response to him is not only that, my grace is sufficient. He says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There are certain things I've learned that you cannot, certain things that you will not learn about God unless you allow his grace to be sufficient for you. Because there are only, he says, for my power is made perfect. He didn't say my power is made perfect when things are going well, when you got it all together. He says, nuh-uh, my power is made perfect when you're weak. My power is made perfect in that place. And so Paul's response to that, he says, because of this, because of these things, he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I can boast in that. I can say, you know what? I'm weak today because of these things. I'm weak today because of these issues. But you know what? I can praise the Lord. And I can rely on him because his power is going to be made perfect in this season, in this area of my life. The reason why is because we don't rely. When you have a weakness, you don't show that, right? And sometimes when people have a weakness, they compensate by different things. Sometimes when a weakness is being exposed, and in particular, man, sometimes we get angry. Because we ain't going to show that weakness. Some people get mad. They want to fight. Some people shut down because they don't want to show this side of them. But I want to encourage you today that allow God's power to be made perfect in that place in your life. And give it to the Lord and say, God, here it is, and I'm weak, and I need you right now, and I got to rely upon you. There are things in my life, I'll be honest, that because of them, they keep me grounded. And they always pull me back to the Lord. They always pull me back. It reminds me that I'm still human and I'm just a man and I need Jesus. And sometimes the Lord, those thorns will be laid in your life, because if it wasn't for those thorns, would some of you be living for God today? If it wasn't for particular thorns, would you be living for him and trusting him and relying upon him? For some of you, it was that thorn that brought you to your knees, that brought you to the Lord. And it keeps you level, it keeps you humble, keeps you relying upon him. Rely upon his grace. Let his power be made perfect in your weaknesses. Because it's in that place that God wants to work out and work into you something special. And Paul said, I would boast in it. I'm going to boast in this. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses because I'm going to trust God. I know God can work through me. I know his power. And as he says, that is so that his power may rest upon me. In other words, that it could just sit on him. That his favor, right, his kindness would just, whew. And I love this because a lot of times in weaknesses, here it is, it's a picture like this, is that God sees us in our weaknesses. He sees the struggles, right? He sees the fights and his kindness rest upon us. It's like this presence that just sits over us. And you ever, does anyone know that experience? Have you ever been there when you can feel God's grace all on your life? I mean, you hurting, but you can sense something that God has never been close to you like ever before. I mean, do you know that? I hope and I pray, that's my prayer today, that you and I would come to know what it means to have God's power rest upon you and how it works, and that you can look back and say, how in the world did I make it through? I was hurting. They caused me pain, and that decision really cost me, but here it is some time now, and God strengthened me through it. I mean, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been in prayer, and you've been in church, and you can just sense the love, the grace, the mercy that helps you get through. And I share this story. It's always one of my favorite stories. Some of you know it, and I share it from time, every now and again, is that when we were doing some ministry at a place called the Phoenix House, in which we had an opportunity to minister to, you know, kids between 12, 13 to 18 who were there because they were, like, addicted, I mean, to, like, meth at, like, 13. That's trip. I don't even know how that works. At 13 and 12, and so we had an opportunity to minister to these kids, and it was great, just every week, just, and some of them came, and some of you might have met them, and it was just awesome just to teach them about Jesus. And it was interesting because when we were first there, the messages were about changing, and some of the kids, you know, everyone, it was, they all wanted to change. And so it was like going forth, going preaching and preaching and preaching. I remember there was one kid, and his face was just all like, you could tell he was a little frustrated, and he was one of the kids that wanted to change. And I remember one of the discussions came, and he says, okay, I get all this. He's like, but when I go back home, there's an expectancy of me to do what I need to do. That when I go home, I have to deal drugs. I have no option. And that, man, just totally flipped my whole theology over. And these kids, because I'm trying to act like an adult, like, hey, you make a decision, you got to make a choice and live for God. And don't get me wrong, I didn't lay up, but we still, but that, man, that messed me up. And I had to go back to the Word, and I was reaching, and I was praying. I said, God, I don't know how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? And one of the things that we, from that moment, we begin to teach and we begin to speak about these young kids and begin to teach them is about the God's grace is sufficient. Because I can't take you from your home. And I can't give you a solution. Well, you need a, I could not do that. We didn't lay up and not say you got to change and you got to live for God. But the thing that we could give these boys and give these girls was that God's grace is sufficient for you. And that scripture, and we spoke it to them, is that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I got to go through this season of my life, I know that his rod and his staff is with me. God's grace is, and that changed. I said, God, help these boys. Help them to see something different. Help them to see you. I pray that they would survive the teenage years of their life. And hold on to you even though they got to do what they have to do because they have no other option. And I said, God, your grace has to be sufficient. They have to rely upon you. And it changed everything because it came right back down to what we preach is your relationship with the Lord and your relationship between God. And I pray that some of those boys would be reminded, and some of them we still see and how God has brought them this far, and some of them are making good strides. But his grace is sufficient. It rests upon him. He will teach you. He will show his kindness towards you to do what you need to do, to overcome, to be victorious. He will give it to you. Tap into it. Rely upon it. I'm going to close with this and ask our worship team to come. Is that there is something that happens a lot of times when we go through this time of our life, and that sometimes when we experience these hardships, we experience the things that have caused us, you know, we experience things in our past and that we have to deal with today. We live for God, we're forgiven, we know that we're forgiven, but we are carrying the weight of it, and we do have to deal with it, and we do have to overcome it. That sometimes things can be lost in the process. Things could be lost, and things could be, you know, our faith, our hope, right? Our joy, confidence, and boldness. A lot of it's confidence. A lot of it's confidence. The confidence to believe that there's more, that you can do more. the confidence and faith that says things can get better, right? A lot of times that's what's taken away. It's like, man, that power, that authority in your life. And so one of the things David prays, and he prays after his moment with Bathsheba, if you know the story, he slept with a woman that wasn't his and killed her husband and tried to cover it up, and he's confronted by the prophet about what his deeds were. And one of the things, even though David did the thing and it cost him dearly. You read the story, it cost him. He paid a price for what he did. But one thing about David, he's always quick to repent. That's what I love about him. And that's why one of the things I believe God says of him, he's a man after my own heart, is because he had a quickness to repent. I mean, he did some things, paid the price, had to carry the weight. But one of the things in Psalms chapter 51, verse 12, he prays this, he says this, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit," listen to this, "to sustain me." He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Here it is. So he's saying, restore to me what was lost because of what I did. Restore to me what was taken from me, this joy of his salvation. I don't have time to speak on it, but that is the thing I love about the Lord is the joy of his salvation. That's like my experience that's between me and God is that I cannot live without. It's the joy of his salvation, is that grace. That to me is very precious. I will give anything and everything to have that. It means a whole lot. Because I'm here today, I am who I am because of the grace of God. And so Paul says, David says, this was lost. This joy of your salvation was lost because of what transpired. And it left him broken and it was lost. And so he says, Lord, restore to me the joy of salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. What God wants to do is restore us. And see, that's what the process of, because in sin, we did what we did in ignorance. We did what we did because we weren't living for the Lord. We lived in sin. And so what God has to do a lot of times is begin to restore us. Renew the mind. Restore your faith. Restore who you are. Put together what the devil tried to tear and rip apart. He's going to restore. But God's in the business of that. That's why Jesus came to the cross. The first and foremost, he says, if I'm going to fix this thing, my son has to die on the cross. If I'm going to restore humanity in every person's life, then he has to do the hardest and most important thing, and that's die for your sins. And the restore. So when we put our faith in him, God says, now we get to go to work. We can restore and begin to heal. And he doesn't just stop, because a lot of times through our life, we take detours and we go to left and we go to the right, as David did. We make dumb decisions, even though we might be living for God, and we experience things and we're dealing with things. But the Lord restores. And he wants to restore some life back into you. And this is what his grace does. It gives you room. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to heal your thinking, heal your mind. I'm going to help you out. You may not be able to get the time over again, but I can do some work in your life and I'll give you new opportunities. And I'll help you and strengthen you. And so I want to challenge you today that in your weaknesses, that you would rely on his grace, you would trust in his grace, his favor, his kindness to you. Stop beating yourself up. And then maybe you would shift your prayer today. And stop asking maybe, oh God, I get this over and do this over and do that over. That instead you would say, Lord, restore to me what was lost. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the hope, the pain, the faith, the joy that I had. Because restore unto me, make me new, heal me again, make me better, encourage my life, help me to get up and go forward and deliver you in weaknesses. And you'll begin to see, from experience, my prayer has shifted over the past couple weeks. Is Lord, I know some of the things I made, good decisions and bad decisions, living for you and not living for you. Some of the consequences I'm dealing with today, others I am not. But my prayer to you, Lord, is that you would restore to me the things that might have been lost in that season of my life. Restore. Your grace is sufficient. Help me to move forward now. Help me to go forward in the best strength and all that. Help me to move forward. Simply the word today is move forward. Move forward in your life. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. No more excuses. No more complaining about the thorn. No more complaining about what went down and what happened. Move forward in the grace of God. Move forward in His freedom, knowing that His grace is sufficient, that His kindness is towards you, His favor is toward you. Use that time to get things right. Make better decisions for your life. There is room and grace to do it. There's a love in heaven. There's plans and there's purpose. Get to moving. Get to stepping. Move forward. Experience all that God has for you. Can we do that today, church? Come on, let's all stand today. Just stand in the presence of God. And if we can, just bow our heads as we stand and maybe consider your life today. Consider it today. Let those things go. Let the past go. You made some decisions. You've experienced some things. But I want to tell you today that God's grace, that He speaks it today. He says His grace is sufficient because His power is made perfect through weakness. His grace is sufficient for you. It's everything that you need. You've been asking yourself, how am I going to move forward? How am I going to fix this? And over, His grace is sufficient. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the mind to do it. He's going to give you the heart. As David prayed, He's going to give you that spirit to sustain you, because it can get discouraging at times. It's interesting that Paul moved on, still preached the word, began to boast about it. He wasn't discouraged about his weaknesses. He didn't use them as excuses. He didn't cause it to turn, he didn't allow them to cause him to turn from God, but it drew him closer. It drew him closer. And so God has drawn you closer today through your weaknesses. He's drawing you closer today. He's drawing you closer because He wants to reveal Himself through these things. He wants to let you know that He is God over it all. He is God over it all. Every mistake, every past, every season, He is God over it all. He works it all together. Give it time, give it time, give it time. Get your strength from Him as you cling to Him. Get that strength that you need, that confidence that you need. Draw it from Him. I know it's discouraging. I know sometimes it can be frustrating, but draw to Him. Draw close to Him. God's grace is sufficient for you. Lord, I just pray today over your people. I pray over this church, a spirit that sustains us, that enables us to get through the day. Lord, I pray a special favor and a special grace upon this church to do what we need to do. We've been through some things as a church. We've been through things as individuals, as families. And so I pray, God, that you give us a mind, you give us a heart to get through it. Rebuke those thoughts that constantly remind us of the past. We've forgiven, but Lord, it is hard for us to forget. I rebuke those demonic thoughts, those things that try to creep in and remind us of what we used to be. I pray that we would speak your words, that your grace is sufficient. Help us to learn what that means. Help us to learn what that means. I want to just pray for those today that you don't know the Lord and your sin has cost you greatly today. I pray and I hope that you see it. That it's the sin, it's the sin, it's the sin that causes us pain. And are we willing to lower our pride and be humble before Him and to repent? Repent of our ways. There's a loving God in heaven. There's a God that wants to extend grace. But if we don't ever put our faith in Jesus, repent of our sins, then we won't experience that grace and that favor. But if that's you today, I want to pray for you just right where you're at. Just want to lead you in this prayer. Say, Lord, I come before you today. I repent of my sins. I need you. I need you today. I'm sorry for the life that I lived. I'm sorry for the wrong decisions I've made. But I know I can find grace, mercy, and favor at your feet. So I come to you. I give you everything I have. Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring about me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want us just to worship God today. Just pray. If you need to pray in your seats, you want to come to this altar and pray. We have some time where we're going to sing and worship and praise to our Father in heaven. Some of you need to thank him for the grace. Some of you just need to speak to him about finding strength. If you find someone next to you that you can pray for them. Encourage them today. Remind yourself of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. All that he's done and all that he's going to continue to do for you. Don't let your past hold you back. Don't let it hold you back. God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Come on, let's worship our Father in heaven today.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.